Good morning again, Rebosa. I apologize for the delay. The drusha, the shiur that we're going to try to learn a little bit today, understand a little bit today, is mamish an extraordinary drusha. The question the central question that the Rav poses is about the structure of Hilchos Teshuvah. The first four parakim, deal basically with tshuva, albeit in Perek Gimel that the Rambam talks about the Zmanim of Din v'Cheshbon, which are Mechayev in Tshuva, in Yonah Deyoma for us now. And then in Perek Chamishi, the Rambam stops talking about Hechos Tshuva, devotes two Pakim to talking about B'chiru Chavshis, and then in Perek Zayin starts talking about tshuva again. The kasha is overwhelming. The way the Rambam breaks up Hilchos Tshuva into two parts before and after his discussion of B'chiru Chavshis. And again, once the Rav illuminates that question, so then it's especially becomes also very, very conspicuous. The Yisodistik HaHalacha in Parag Zayin HaHalacha Gimel, if you have a Rambam on hand, take a look at it. The Altomar She'ena Tshuva Ela Me'averu She'yesh Bahan Maisa. Don't think that the tshuva is limited to averos that materialized in the form of actions. Kigon znus, v'gezel u'gneva. No, don't have such a truncated conception of tshuva. Excuse me. Kishem shetzach adam losher me'elu, kachu tzach lechapes b'deos rosh sheyeshlo, v'losher mehen. Deos in the Rambam means what we usually use the word midos for. A person has to look at his character traits, at character flaws. Min hakas, min ha'eva, min hakino, min hatachrus, min hahitul, min redivas hamomen v'akovon, min redivas ma'acholos, min hachayotze b'hen, min hakol tzach lachso v'tshuva. Ve'elo avonos kosher me'osan sheyesh b'hen ma'isa. An action, if it were to happen as a result of a momentary lapse, is relatively speaking easier to do tshuva for. It's not something that has deep roots, right? If you want to uproot something, if you're doing gardening and you're trying to uproot a weed, if you're a hurricane wind and you're trying to uproot a tree, if you're trying to, perhaps we can relate a little bit more to the marshal of doing gardening than being a hurricane wind. If you're trying to uproot something, so the relative ease, the relative difficulty depends upon how deep the roots are. Right? If the roots just go a little bit beneath the surface, it's not going to be so hard to uproot it. When the roots run very deep, so then it becomes extremely difficult to uproot. So a maisa, it's possible for it to have been some kind of freakish, flukish, momentary lapse, in which case, relatively speaking, the tshuva won't be so difficult. But by definition, when we're trying to do tshuva for our midas roles, so those are habits. Those are entrenched. There, depending upon age, the roots run deep. How deeply depends upon age. There's only so deeply that the roots can run at your age. Ve'elo ha'kavonos kosher me'osan she'esh mehen ma'isa. She'bizman she'odem nishka ve'elo kosher lefash. V'cheinu ome yazav rosha darko v'ish'oven machshev elsav. Excuse me. So in this context, the Rambam is clearly interpreting the pasuk Yazav ish rosha darko, that a person's derech means his midos, his habits, his patterns. Earlier, the Rambam had quoted the same pasuk, and l'chor was learning pshat differently because he hadn't introduced tshuva on midos at that point. If you go back to Perek Beis, Halacha Beis. Umahi Atshuva, Hushi Yazov Hachote Cheto, V'yisirenu Mimachshavto, V'yigma B'liba Shalo Yasei Od, Shenema Yazov Rosha Darko, V'yish Oven Machshav Osa. So presumably this pasuk contains everything the Rambam said. Shi Yazov Hachote Cheto, V'yisirenu Mimachshavto, V'yigma B'liba Shalo Yasei Od. So the ish oven machshavosav, that's the yisirenu mimachshavta. That's l'chore easy. How did the Rambam tie chair in Perek Beis, halacha Beis, halacha the darko? It seems to be more a person's actions. And azivas darko means shiyazav achote cheto. He has to cease and desist from that action. But also, v'yigma b'liba shalo yaseirod. All of that is compressed into Yazov Rosh Hadarka. Okay, so the pasuk has two different meanings. So in light of the Rav's kasha, which again, sort of is this burst of light on Hilchos Tshuva, that Hilchos Tshuva is broken into two different parts. So this Yisodas Dika Halacha should have been in Perek Aleph Halacha Aleph. Kol Mitzvos Shabbatorah Ben Esei Ben Losa Seim Ova Adam Al Achas Mehen Ben Bezon Ben Mishkoga Kshe Yasa Tshuva V'yasha Mechato Chai Lizvados. So the Rambam should have said Kol Mitzvos Shabbatorah Ben Mitzvos Ma'asios Ben Mitzvos Shaldeos. Excuse me 1 second. So, for instance, the Rambam has, excuse me, the Rambam has in Sefer Mitzvahs in Shorish Chi'i. So again, so the Rambam wrote Sefer Mitzvahs in Judeo-Arabic. We're learning it in Lashon HaKodesh. So the use of the word Deos is not the same here in Sefer Mitzvahs. Ibn Tibbon uses the word Deos more along the lines that we do. Deos are what a person believes. And he uses the word Midos, the way we do. So It's not no stir in Lashon HaSara. I'm just it's Ibn Tibbon's vocabulary as opposed to the Rambam's vocabulary. Da'asha kol tzivuye ha-Torah shorosh chi'i in the introductory shoroshim to Sefer Mitzvahs. Da'asha kol tzivuye ha-Torah va'azharo seha hinehem ba'abod dvarim. There are four areas which mitzvahs cover. You can subdivide mitzvahs into four classes: b'deos, b'peulos, b'midos, u'b'dibur. Deos, hu shetzivanu lahamin dea achas min ha-deos, k'mo shetzivanu lahamin ha-yichud, v'avas ha-kel yisbarach v'yiraso. B'chein tzivanu b'peulo min ha-peulos, k'mo shetzivanu lahakriv korbanos. B'chein tzivanu lehisnahig b'mida me-ha-midos. So the Rambam should have said in Parag Aleph, he should have referenced these different types of mitzvahs, and he should have made clear what he ultimately does make clear in Parag Zayin Halacha Gimel. Why did the Rambam hold this critical halacha in abeyance? And again, it's not stam akasha. Parag Aleph Halacha Aleph is sort of defining, the Rambam always begins with basic definitions of the parameters of the mitzvah. This isn't sort of stama halacha that, all right, say it a little sooner, you say it a little later. No, this is definitional. It's definitional. So how is it that this is held in abeyance until Perek Zayin Halacha Gimel? So Agav, again, but before we pick up with what the Rav says about this, just one other comment in this vein of the structure of Hilchos Tshuva. Just the Perek Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva is a very, very seemingly strange perek. Yeah, I'm sorry. I realize I didn't ask to have it on hand, but just by a show of thumbs, how many people have a Rambam on hand? Okay, one second. Keep your thumb up. I got to move the screen here. Sorry about that. Okay, Baruch Hashem, a lot of thumbs there. Okay. Parag Aleph is a very, 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 very strange, seemingly strange parag. The Rambam begins again, Kol Mitzvah Shabbat Torah, Tshuva and Vidui. Tshuva and Vidui are always necessary, even if there's going to be a Korban, even if there's going to be a Malkus, even if there's going to be Misa, it has to be Tshuva and Vidui. Fine. Then, Alochet Beis, the Rambam starts talking about Tsar Mishtalayach. What exactly, seems like the Tsar Mishtalayach got lost here. No? Tsar Mishtalayach was really on his way, Lazazel, because he took a wrong turn, and he ended up in Perek Aleph Hilchos Tshuva. What's the Tsar Mishtalayach doing in Hilchos Tshuva? Tell me about him. Hilchos Avodas Yom Kippurim, where he belongs. he drayed around here, took a left when he was supposed to take a right, and he ends up here in Perek Aleph. What's the Tsar Mishtalayach got to do with, okay. Especially given the fact that the Tsar Mishtalayach, in large part, has got nothing to do with tshuva, because the Rambam tells us that it's mechapa and kalos even without tshuva. So it's a funny thing. Then after Tsar Mishtalayach, so the Rambam talks about Bezman HaZeh, and talks about Yom Kippur, and then he talks about the Chilukei Kapara. So I don't know, just sort of a hodgepodge, no? So it seems like a, like a hodgepodge of things. What connects them? So the answer is clear that for whatever reason, okay, so this Einochanami will generate a different question, but a well-defined question. For whatever reason, the Rambam doesn't begin Hilchos Tshuva talking about Tshuva. Parag Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva is not about Tshuva. Parag Aleph of Hilchos Tshuva is about Kapara. Again, why Einochanami? So that's something that at some point in Adras Hashem we need to understand But Perek Aleph is about Hilchos, is about Kapara. Oh. Once we realize that, then the whole Perek falls into place. Everything makes perfect sense in terms of the Perek. The Rambam is being makif, the topic of Kapara. The Rambam is telling us that even though, right, we saw in last week in Isha Halacha with the Minchas Chinuch's Kasha and Teretz, that even though the emes is that tshuva l'chur and kapara l'chur, ha'omer l'isha re'em gudashis li'am amnasha nitsa de goma afilu rosh l'kol yom av ha'reizu safek mishkudasha as shema hir her tshuva b'libo. So tshuva l'chur, kapara l'chur, but you should know that vidui is ma'akev in kapara, which is what the Rambam in Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph, is telling us. That the person is chay lezvados, and ein miskapelo without the vidui. So Parak Aleph, Halacha Aleph is really, again, the Rambam is zeroing in on vidui more than tshuva, because for whatever reason, the Rambam begins Parak Aleph talking about kapara, not talking about tshuva. So then the Rambam is now comprehensively, very systematically, comprehensively, kedarko v'kodesh, going through all the sources of kapara that we have, the sources of kapara that we have. And that's how the parak culminates with the chilukei kapara. Okay, that's just again, it doesn't contribute to the teretz on the Rav's kasha of this drasha that we're trying to learn a bit together. But just as a ma'amam muskar, as they say. Okay, so that's the question: why does the Rambam divide Hilchos Tshuva? Some of it is on one side of his discussion of Bechira Chavshis, some of it is on the other side. And in light of that, how is it that something as fundamental as having to do tshuva for our midos ra'os, that only surfaces in Perek Zayin? So in the drasha, So the Rav explains remarkably how a person can do tshuva without really or fully tapping into the remarkable koach of Bechira Chavshis. The remarkable koach of Bechira Chavshis that a person has is that we're given unlimited Bechira, which means that a person can, if he fully exercises and employs the koach of Bechira, a person can transform himself. Person can be responsible for his undergoing a metamorphosis. Not just, you know, take me or leave me, not just can't teach an old dog new tricks, none of that. None of that. A person can, it's a revolutionary koach, it's a revolutionary capacity that a person can totally transform himself, can be responsible for his own personal metamorphosis. That's what Bechira Chavshis B'chol Tokpo allows a person to do. A person can, and too often that is all we do tshuva by, if at all, tapping into this, only very superficially. How so? The Rav explains that there is a phenomenon, I don't know, maybe in our categories we would link it to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu embedded within us a conscience. Although interestingly, the Rav himself doesn't make that association. Ayin Olav. But we know there's such a thing as having a guilty conscience. We do something wrong, and we have a guilty conscience. Sometimes that guilty conscience makes us, we're sure that because it's on our mind, so we're sure that everyone else is aware of our chait, and we overinterpret, misinterpret the way someone's looking at us, or a comment someone makes, and then misses the whole thing is lo hayadua me'olam. It's right. It's my own guilty conscience about my chait. It's what the Rav calls something which is even more basic and even more subliminal, hargoshas hachet. It's not the sort of intellectual hakaras hachet, but there's a hargoshas hachet. There's this sense of unease. There's this loss of menuchas hanefesh, of equilibrium. The object of the chait changes from being something which fascinated and irresistibly, as the person experienced it, attracted him, to something that's now repulsive and repels him. It's not an intellectual, cognitive process, right? When we have pangs of conscience, there's nothing intellectual about it. And it's not even our exercising our bechira chafshus. It's not mitzad the bechira that we have a guilty conscience. Right? The same way, it's not a bechira if a person touches something hot and pulls his hand back. There's no bechira there. That's a reflex action. Oftentimes, tshuva can be nothing more than aligning oneself with the instinct of the conscience, as opposed to the urge of the Yetzer Hara. So again, it's a little bit a question of semantics. Isn't that also bechira? Okay, so it's semantics. So say that isn't bechira, or say that is bechira, but a superficial bechira. A bechira, not a bechira where a person is transforming himself, but where a person is allowed to be machriya between different yitzarim, between different urges, and between different instincts, and between different reflexes. Again, it's either call that not bechira, or it's hard for us to think of it and say it that way. Call it, yes, bechira, but a very, very limited sense of bechira. Then the Rambam, to begin with, Hilchos Teshuva, doesn't have to tell us about how profound the koach of bechira is. Because teshuva can happen even with a very superficial bechira. The Rav Shalom programmed us that we feel guilty that we're margish chait. We feel guilty. We feel unclean. That feeling, that instinctive reflexive reaction, that's not an expression, an accomplishment of bechira. It's an instinctive reaction. And that's ultimately the source of the truth. Okay, isn't there a bechira in that I align myself with assuaging my guilty conscience and I discontinue the chait rather than aligning myself with my yetzer? Yeah, okay, but it's a very superficial, very limited type of bechira. Then the Rambam says, but Rav Yossi, you should know that what I've described until now doesn't begin to capture what a person is capable of. Because yes, a person can do tshuva that way, and it can even do a tshuva that will stick. A person, I think Rabbi Yonah writes in the beginning of Shari Tshuva that the anguish a person has about chait will help protect him from repeating that chait. The anguish which is involved in the tshuva process will help deter the person from chait again. Let's say a person ate a certain food, and unbeknownst to him, it was spoiled. So because of that, he got sick, and maybe then he vomited. The next time you see that food, you have an association with it. You have this automatic association of that food with the stomach illness that the person had suffered. Says Rabbi Yonah, when a person does tshuva, and again, with all the merivus halev, which at some point has to be part of the tshuva, so then my association, when that chait beckons a second time, will be like my association with the food that made me sick last time I ate it. So a tshuva, even this superficial, relatively speaking, tshuva can stick and can last. But then the Rambam says, but you should know, Rav Osai. Rambam tells us, you should know, Rav Osai, if that's the only tshuva we're doing, we're selling ourselves short. A person is capable of a tshuva that totally, totally transforms himself. It's not just that he's machria between two different forces that attract and repel him. There's the Yetzirah which makes the Avera attract him. There's a conscience which makes the Yetzirah, which makes the Avera repel him. And the person is just being machria between Yetzirah, between urges and instincts and reflexes. Now, a person can transform his midos. It's not just that a person can arbitrate between the midas hataiva and his conscience. A person can change the midas hataiva. It's not just that a person can be machria between the midas hakina and hakas. And again, that conscience that we have, the etzato. No, a person can be mesakein and can be okay, those midas realms. The chira, as the Rambam explained it to us, as he defines it, allows a person to transform himself. But says the Rav, now and only now can the Rambam tell us that you have to do tshuva not only for an action, but you have to do tshuva for midos ra'os. Again, in the Rambam's lexicon, deos. Calls man that the tshuva is the superficial tshuva. So then that tshuva, no, only relates to maisim. What it means is, I'm not uprooting the chemdas mamon that led to the gezel gneiva. I'm not uprooting the taiva that led to the znus, but I'm being machria differently between those midos ra'os and the conscience. And the notion of tiyud ha-chait, and that simultaneously a person also experiences chait as something reprehensible. After the Rambam tells us about bechira, unlimited bechira. You know, there's a very famous notion from Rav Desta of Nekudas ha-bechira. The pashtus in the Rambam is that the Rambam doesn't understand like that at all. The Rambam, that whole mahalach is not consistent with the Rambam. Rambam tells us that through bechira, a person can totally transform himself. So now the Rambam says, now Now the Rambam addresses us. Now that you understand that, now I can tell you something else, which until this point would have just seemed like a medrash sasum. I can tell you that the mitzvah of tshuva is not only on the level of maisim, but it's on the level of deis. It's on the level of midos as well. Perek Zayin, the Rav says, why is it that in Perek Zayin now the Rambam quotes all the extraordinary Mamori Chazal that extol tshuva? And the Rambam has this poetic ode to tshuva, kama mu'ula marasa tshuva. And the Rav says, you have the sense the Rambam is writing poetry at this point. He's not writing prose. It's an ode to tshuva. It's a song to tshuva. Because once the Rambam has told us about the Koach HaBechira, he's also telling us about what a tshuva me'ava. He's telling us about that a person can do a tshuva me'ava, and again, a tshuva me'ava that can take a person who was sonoi, meshukot, meruchok, v'toeva, and can transform him into Ov, V'nachmod, V'kara, V'yadid. And Perek Zayin is the Perek of Tshuva Me'ava. Earlier, the Rambam was describing a Tshuva Me'yira, a Tshuva which, again, is not from within, from the Bechira Chavshas of a person, but it's more, again, how the person is responding to factors and forces acting upon him. Again, even again, in a different sense, obviously the conscience or this whatever's responsible for hagoshes achet is internal also, but in a different sense than the koach habechira. And Perek Zayin is the perek of tshuva me'ava, because earlier it's premature. We can't be masig at tshuva me'ava. Only again in light of the virtually unlimited potential which a person recognizes that he has by virtue of Bechira. So now, and only now, can he be introduced to Tshuva Me'ava. So Perek Zayin is about Tshuva Me'ava. Perek Zayin also, which comes after the discussion of Bechira, can introduce us to the chiyuv to do tshuva for deos as well, in our language midos. But there's one halacha here in Perek Zayin that I think that the Rav doesn't comment on, and the question is how this should be understood based on his extraordinary mahalach. And if you have the Rambam, so take a look again. So Perek Zayin halacha aleph begins, that's the phrase the Rambam used at the beginning of Perek Hey in talking about Bechira. Since everyone, Rishus doesn't mean permission or license here. It means the capacity. It means the ability. That's why Rishus means governmental authority in Perek Yavis as well. Holu Rishus kol Adam nesun lo kemosha beyanu. Yishtadel ho Adam, yishtadel beloshen chachamim. That doesn't, we use in modern Hebrew, yishtadel means to try. In rabbinic Hebrew, yishtadel means to exert oneself. It doesn't just mean, oh, I'll give it a shot, I'll attempt. Now, try doesn't necessarily have that. Yishtadel means to exert oneself. Yishtadel odom lasos tshuva v'linu akapo mechatov, kedei sheyomos v'hu bal tshuva, kedei sheyiska v'chay olam haba. So that's a little bit, l'chora, discordant, given the Rav's approach that the Rambam is introducing in Perek Zayin, Tshuva Me'ava. Tshuva Me'ava should be altruistic, should be lishma. Shouldn't be Kedei Sheyiska L'chay Olam Haba. That's one question. Second question. Halacha Beis, L'olam Yira Odom Es Atzmo Kilu Hu Nota Lomos. V'shema Yomuz B'shaito V'nimsa Omid B'chatov. A person should view himself as though today maybe is last day. Obviously, that's not true in every area. Right, if today were a person's last day, like he wouldn't go to the dentist to get his cavity filled. You know, that obviously means that this is supposed to be, and that actually is a good idea to do. Bad idea, yet not to get the cavity in the first place. The Rambam is not looking to dissuade us from going to the dentist. The Rambam is obviously saying that a person is supposed to sort of live simultaneously with different complementary perspectives, and supposed to live simultaneously on different levels in terms of doing tshuva. So the level on which the person should live is ki'ilu hu nota lomos v'shema yomis v'shaita v'eino v'nimsa omid v'chatov v'fichach yoshu mi'chatov mi'yad lo yomek sha'azken oshuv shema yomos kodem sh'yazken. So as the Kesef Mishnah cites, I'm just quoting from the Mishnah of us in Gemara and Shabbos. The Mishnah of us is Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha. Gemara and Shabbos explains, Ay v'chi Adam Yodeya Masa Yomos. So how is it meaningful to say Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha? A person doesn't know when the tomorrow is, to know when he should do tshuva. So adrava, ein achanami. So nimtzu kol yom v'tshuva. So that's all Chazal. There's no. It's not the Rambam. It's Chazal, but it's the Rambam who's quoting it here, right? The Rambam is choosing where and when to quote it. So how does this belong to Perek Zayin? Again, given the Rav's beautiful overview of two ways of doing tshuva, two types of tshuva, a tshuva that barely scratches the surface in terms of employing our bechira, and the tshuva, which can be a tshuva me'ava, which is only conceivable once we realize the virtually unlimited koach of bechira chavshas, and Perek Zayin is about, that's what Perek Zayin is about. And without the koach habechir, without tshuva me'ava, so a person, he shouldn't be concerned that he doesn't, rachman al tzlan, want to be nifter before he clears all his debts. So how does this fit in here? So let's begin with the first of the two kashas we asked. Why is the Rambam in Halacha Aleph depicting the tshuva, or the motivation for tshuva, k'day she'yischa l'chay olam haba? Again, the question arguably would have been an appropriate question regardless, but certainly within the Rav's Mahalach, it's very conspicuous. Let's take a look for a minute in Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph Havasa. If a person says, I'm motivated because every one of us, no one wants to die. Everyone wants to live forever. That's human nature. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu created us. So a person can very understandably, very naturally say, that's what motivates me. I know that if I learn Torah and I keep the mitzvahs, I'll have a chelik in Olam Haba, and I'll be able to live forever, which is something which is at the core of our self, of our selfhood. So the Rambam says, that's being Ovin Meira, Eina Malas and Neviim L'Malas Chachamim. Okay, take a look, and in the Frankel Rambam, it's actually the same page, but take a look at the previous halacha, Perek Tes Halacha Beis. When the Melech HaMashiach comes, Yemos HaMashiach will be a utopia. There's not going to be any warfare. There will be no more Shivan Malchias. There will be good health. People will live very, very long lives. It will be a utopia. So why do we want a utopia? They'll have the tranquility. And who is it who's misave the Yemosa Mashiach Kadesh Yiskel Chayalam Haba? Nevi'ayim v'chachameyim. Not just us, but the Nevi'im and Chachamim are described this way. The same Nevi'im and Chachamim that the Rambam made a point of telling us one halacha later that to do it, because a person wants Chayalam Haba, is Eina lo malas a Nevi'im, lo malas a Chachamim. As blatant as it could be. Clearly, the answer is that a person, well, before we do that, maybe go back for a minute. To Perek Ches, Halacha Beis. Olam haba ein bo guf u gviya, ela nafshas hatzikim bo vaad bo lo guf kem halacha yashamis. So the Rambam Kayadua has an incorporeal conception of Olam Haba. Olam Haba is only for the Nefesh. What did Chazal then mean when Chazal said that in Olam Haba, Tzadikim Ayoshvim Va'atroseim Berosheim V'nanim Zim Ashkina, it's a metaphor. And the Rambam now proceeds in this halacha and explains each element of the metaphor. Take a look at the last line of the halacha. It obviously doesn't mean physical pleasure. So what does it mean that they're basking in the radiance of the Shechina? It doesn't mean the warmth of sitting in a summer sun. So what does it mean? That in Olam Haba, even Rabbi Akiva, even the Rambam, even Rabbi Chaim, even the Vilna Gaon, even Moshe Rabbeinu, there's a cap on the Yediyas Hashem that they can have because they exist in a hybrid state of guf v'nefesh. And in Olam Haba, which for the Rambam is only nefesh, that cap is released, and there's a yediyah, there's a level of yediyah, there's a level of hasaga, of apprehension, which is possible in Olam Haba, which is impossible, which is humanly, logically impossible in Olam Haba. And that's what the Nanim Yizav Hashchina is. Kuntois, if a person, as the Rambam says in Perek Beis of Yisrael, to Halacha Beis, is Mis'ave Taiva Gadola Leida Hashem Baruch Hu. So that person, that Taiva, will translate, right? And it's not coincidental. Take a look in Yisrael HaTorah, Perek Beis, Halacha Beis for a moment. An Oiv Hashem is Mis'ave Taiva Gedola for more Yediyas Hashem. Whatever Yediyas Hashem he has already, he's Mesaveh Taiv V'Gadolah to have a greater level, a greater degree of Avas Hashem. It's Poshut that the Rambam is intentionally using that same phrase, that same wording in Perek Tes Halacha Beis when he tells us, M'nei Zeh Hisavu, right? The same Mis'avah Taiv V'Gadolah from Yisrael Torah Beis Beis. M'nei Zeh Hisavu Kol Yisrael K'desh Yisrael Chai Olam Haba. Because the Rambam is telling us a person can desire Chai Olam Haba for either of two very different reasons. A person can desire Chai Olam Haba because, again, we all want to live forever. No one is really content with mortality. Person wants to live forever. And memela, a person can desire Chai Olam Haba for that reason. That's what the Rambam is describing in Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph. And the Rambam says that's a Bechina Be'ovid Meir. Halavai, we should be Ovid Meir. That's nothing to denigrate. It's not the highest, but it's Avoda. And Perek Tes Halacha Beis, the Rambam is talking about a person who's not desirous of Chai Olam Haba for his own personal immortality. He's desirous of Chai Olam Haba for the Yediyas Hashem, for the Kirvas Elokim, that's only possible there, that even for Moshe Rabbeinu isn't possible here. And that's why the Rambam uses that same phrase, the Hisavu that he used to describe the Oev Hashem, who's Misavu Taiv V'Gadola later. So the beginning of the answer to our question, I'm sorry, we're a little bit over time here. The beginning to the answer of our question, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, we said, why is it, how is it, that if Perek Zayin is now introducing this higher type of tshuva, a tshuva which can even be a tshuva me'ava, so why does the Rambam begin with this shelo lishma motivation? No, when the Rambam says, Kedesh Yitzchak L'chai Olam Haba, what he's talking about is the way it's depicted in Perek Tes Halacha Beis. He's talking about Kedesh Yiska Chai Olam Haba, that the person yearns for Olam Haba for the Yediyas Hashem, for the Kirvas Elokim, for the Dveikus that it affords, that it makes possible. Well, that's the key to understanding Halacha Beis. We said Halacha Beis, that's certainly, why didn't the Rambam have that earlier? A person should do tshuva right away. You don't need to know about this new type of tshuva based on Bechira to be able to do that. So Taz Lachar is as follows. What's the din, Halacha L'maaseh? Let's say you have a Kohen, and the Kohen goes, he's 30 years old. He goes overseas. His wife remains behind. It's a business trip. His wife remains behind. Okay, then there's no communication. I don't know. The phone lines are down and email is down. No communication. So the question is, can she eat truma? Right, an eshes kohen eats truma. Kol Torah beveischa yochal asa. An eshes kohen eats truma. So can she eat truma or no? Maybe we have to be choshesh that maybe the kohen died. So it's a mefurish then that shema yomas lo chayishin, shema meis lo chayishin. We don't entertain a chashash that a young person, okay, over 70 is a different discussion, but a young person, we don't entertain a chashash. Again, that the person just did Rahman al-Slan die prematurely, or that he imminently will die prematurely. There's no such chashash in halacha. Halacha is not choshesh for that. So what's, again, leaving the Rambam's placement of this halacha aside, what's pshat in the Gemara Shabbos elaborating the mission of us of Shuv Yom Echad Lefnei Misascha? No, so I don't know. Presumably, I don't know if we would consult the actuarial tables. I don't know, but you mentioned Osana Baram Shivim Shana, Mistama, a person can certainly wait till he gets close to 70 to be Mekayim Shuvi Amechel Efnei Misascha. Just how do we, in terms of the ground Shabbos, how do we understand this din? So the Chora klar that whether or not a person is choshesh sort of depends upon his perspective. From an olam hazadik perspective, there's no reason for a young person, even a middle-aged person, unless Rachman Litzan, the person is a cholim sukkim. There's no reason for that person to be choshesh shem hayom yomos. And al pidin, it's like that. The Eishes Kohen can eat truma, even though the email's been down for a week, and the phone lines have been down for a week, and she's had no word from her husband. There's no reason for her to think that anything happened to him. He's a young guy. There's no reason to think that anything happened. But what about if the person's orientation is not olam hazadik orientation, but it's an olam habadik orientation? From an olam habadik orientation, right? If the person is thinking, here I am today, should I be concerned whether I'll be here tomorrow? That's one question. But if a person is thinking, his orientation is, I want to end up in Olam Haba, and there are some things that I want to attend to, that I must attend to, that I need to attend to before I get there, when should I do it? So that's the question is coming from a different angle, from a different orientation. And when the orientation is not the Olam Hazadik orientation, but it's the Olam Habadik orientation. So the answer is, I don't know when the person's going to be in Olam Haba. If there are things you got to take care of them now. So the emphasis is that this halacha also beautifully, beautifully fits into the Rav's scheme. That because Perek Zayin is talking about a Teshuva Me'ava is focused on Olam Haba, for the kivus elokim that it affords. The Nesiv HaShalom has a beautiful he'orah. He says, why is Perek Ches in Hilchos Tshuva? Perek Ches is about Olam Haba. Okay, you do tshuva, you get Olam Haba. It's a little bit of a shvach connection. If you do tshuva, then you won't eat Malchus HaSuras either. So we can shtup Hilchos Malchus HaSuras. It's going to get too big. Mashen can't Olam Haba, we can compress into a peg. Well, what's Olam Haba doing in Hilchos Tshuva? So the Nesiv HaShalom explains very beautifully. He says, the Slonim Rebbe explains very, very beautifully. He says, because Tshuva is to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what the Metzias of Olam Haba is. That's what the Metzias of Olam Haba is. So a person of Tshuva Me'ava, he's focused on Olam Haba. So his question of Mosai Omus is not being asked from the angle of right now the Eishes Kohen wants to eat dinner, so she's come to, or in the morning she's planning what she'll have for supper. So does she have to be chasheshes that the husband is going to die? So again, the orientation is now. No. Shema Yomus lo chayashina al pidin. But if the orientation is Olam Haba, that's what I'm focused on. And there's some things that I mamish need to attend to beforehand. So then you're never going to know when the day is. You're never going to know when the day is. When at age 60, you're not going to know when the day is either. At age 70, at age 80, you're never going to know when the day is. So a person should do it today. And that's why the Rambam inserts the Maim Chazal here. Okay, the so much more. This drosh of the Rav is so again. This is what he says, and there's what it opens up. Beyond that, and so much more. So we now do next Thursday in Eretz Hashem. I assume even though it's Erev Rosh Hashanah, we still have regular Shiv Thursday. I'm assuming. So, Blinan Tzushem, we'll continue with this same drasha next Thursday, and Sunday, we'll continue in Pesachim. Okay, Rabbi, be well, be safe, have a productive day, and good Shabbos.